Maybe? All right. All right, good morning. I went for a little walk this morning. It's a beautiful day out. This is the time of year to live in El Paso. My goodness, it is amazing. And I was walking in just, I don't know, the morning sun and the birds dancing and the mountain all blue, and just thinking about how God's mercies are new every morning. And so I hope for your life, His mercies are new in an evident way to you this morning, as we need His grace and experience His mercies. So it is an honor to be here with you. My name is Dove, and yeah, I consider it a privilege to just meet together and to share our lives together. So thank you. We are going through the book of Galatians, and so this is the fourth week of that. So we're gonna jump in to the fourth week. So I don't know if, do you have that PowerPoint, Josh? This is where I was supposed to tell some good jokes, but I didn't have any, so. All right, so as I look at it, the question we're kind of looking at in Galatians is, how do we become righteous? In other words, how do we become worthy? How do we become in right standing with God? How do we become no longer guilty? How do we get accepted into heaven? It's all kind of the same question, but where does that come from? How can we actually attain to that? And so, can we earn it? Are there things that we can do to be so amazing or worthy that we can be in right standing with God? Can we, through our effort, become right with Him? Or do we get it by God's power and then by doing our duty, by following the rules? Or is it a gift given by what Jesus has done? Nothing more. And so as we look through this, I think this is kind of what Paul is really trying to hammer home in this letter, is it is a gift from Jesus. And so we cannot get in right standing with God by our own effort, and it doesn't come through the work of God, and then we add our effort later. It's just through what Jesus did, period. And so in Galatians 1, we looked at this. He's just kind of reviewing, and he says that the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, just kind of laying that. Remember, it was Jesus who rescued us, and it's because of Him. And so, just to kind of recap the book of Galatians, what happened is Paul, he got his life transformed by Christ, and he came to know Jesus, and he was a Jewish guy, and he was doing really well as a Jewish scholar, and he was advancing really fast, and he was doing everything in his power to kind of persecute and get rid of anybody who was talking about this new way in Jesus. And then when God transformed his life, then he started going around and telling people about Jesus. And so he came to Galatia, which is an area in modern-day Turkey. And he started telling these people about how they could come to God through Jesus. And then when he left, and the churches that were there, the people that were following Jesus, some other people came by, which we call the Judaizers, and they started saying, wait a second, Paul didn't tell you everything. Besides Jesus, you need to follow the law. You need to follow what's written by Moses to get to God. It's not complete without that. And so in Galatians 2:15, he goes into this. So the entire letter, so the book of Galatians is a letter that Paul wrote to those churches. And you can tell he is really mad. Like, some of the language in there is like, wow. We'll even look at some of that today. He's really ticked. He's like, I cannot believe you guys would listen to these jokers that come and add something on top of it. And so Steve talked about this last week in 2:15. It says, we who are Jews by birth, so Paul was a Jew, and not Gentile sinners like me, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And so he's saying, you cannot be justified by the law. I wanted to talk about what the law is just for a moment. Most of you guys probably, if you have background, know. But so the law is the first five books of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so that's the law, and it was written by Moses about roughly 1500 AD before BC. And if you read, I've been slowly reading through, a lot of people start reading the Bible and they don't make it past Leviticus. Is that what it was? That's where people get stuck. So I've been slowly reading through it. And if you read the law, these first five books, the first one's pretty cool. Genesis is like how the world was created, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and then he's got this son Isaac and Jacob. It's a really cool history. And then Joseph becomes this mighty person in Egypt and saves everybody, and they come and live in Egypt. And then in the book of Exodus, Moses is born. And then he leads everyone, this is like hundreds of years later, leads them out of Egypt. And then he writes down all these laws, just a huge amount of laws. And as you read it, some of it, to me at least, is really amazing. It's just like, wow, what incredible wisdom inspired by God at a time when there was chaos all over the world and people had no systems. The law of Moses was such an amazing thing that established Israel as a nation, that gave them wisdom how to be healthy. They gave them wisdom on how to honor God and not fall away. And then some of the stuff I read is just like, what? Like, all this detail that's like exactly how to sacrifice and where to pour the blood and how to burn it and what to do with it, and it's just how to build the temple and the portico and the stuff. It's like, okay. And that's why very few people, it's like, there's actually a lot more exciting stuff after this. But I even recommend skip Leviticus and Numbers, when you're really ready for it. I'm serious. Go back and read it at a time when you really want to chew on that. But for the most part, it's like, man, this is okay. You know, and there's lists of names and all these people. I'm in Deuteronomy right now, and I like Deuteronomy a lot. Deuteronomy, Moses knows that he's going to die, and he's just saying, remember what God's done. Remember, if you follow God, things are going to go well for you. Don't forget. Just keep remembering that. So anyways, that's the law, and that's what Paul is talking about. No one can be righteous by following the law. It comes through Jesus. And so he's really angry because they're trying to add the law back in. And so I just want to recap kind of the last 3 weeks, and then we're going to start Galatians 3. And I'm sorry, I should have brought my glasses. I can't read this, so I hope it doesn't bother you guys looking behind me. In the first week, 1 through 10, the summary is just kind of that the good news, which the word is the gospel, the good news of Christ must not be changed. You cannot mess with it. You cannot add to it. No human can add to it, nor even an angel. And Paul is super serious about this. Do not mess with the good news. It came from Christ as a gift, and it remains as such. Don't taint it. Don't touch it. It is pure. The second week, we talked about how the good news was not conceived by man. Paul did not think of it. It was given from God. And he goes into a bunch of proofs talking about that. It came from God, not from people. And then last week, Steve talked about now, because of this, we're under a system of freedom. So we are free to live all out in response to God's amazing love for us. And so it's kind of a reaction to, well, if we give people freedom, then, wait a second, that's not going to work. We better add some rules so people don't start going crazy and doing stuff. And Paul's like, no, if you really understand what you've been given, you don't need any rules. You just go free in that. And the expression of that is going to be beautiful, not this ugly thing of, oh, so free to do all the bad stuff I wanted to do before and felt bad about. And so this, we have a complete freedom. All right, so this week we're going to do the start of Galatians 3. You should have it before you, in front of you. I'm just going to read through the whole thing first, and then we're going to go through it verse by verse. So I'm going to go back one verse from last week, verse 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? You can tell he's kind of mad. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for these words. I thank you for inspiring them, and I thank you for preserving them and passing them down to us. God, I just ask that you would open up our eyes to understand what they mean. I ask that you would apply them to our lives, that many, many years later, you would take these words and speak to us. I ask that you would teach us. I ask that you would help us to understand. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move. I ask that you would go to those places deep in us where you only know us, and convict us and work on us and draw us in closer. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to go through that verse by verse. So the first one says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So he's just saying, with all these years that passed from the law, no one was able to get righteousness. But through Christ, we could. And if that wasn't the case, it was a waste of time for Jesus to die. He says, look, that was foolishness. That was a waste. And then starting today, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So he's like, man, somebody's tricked you. There's like some kind of spell on you. You saw before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. So you know that Jesus got crucified. You know he died. And therefore you know that it was because the law wasn't sufficient. Just like in the what he was saying before this. You know that Jesus came and paid this penalty. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? And so Paul's starting to talk about the Holy Spirit, and he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit for a lot throughout the book of Galatians. And he's saying, you received the Holy Spirit when you believed, before you ever started to add on this law stuff. This is super crucial. God did not work in you because of the rules you were following. God started to work in you because you believed. And that's your beginning. Don't forget what God did just when you believed. To me, this is kind of the most important verse of the section, at least the one that speaks to me. We're going to talk about this a bit more. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? You received the Spirit when you believed, Galatians. Don't add to it a bunch of extra stuff. Don't add a bunch of rules. Don't add a bunch of your effort. Back when you had no effort, your effort was pathetic, God worked in you. God moved. His Holy Spirit moved in you. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing. Honestly, as I read through this, I've enjoyed the process of going through every single verse. This is the one verse to me that's kind of like, I kind of lost his flow a little bit in this one, honestly. But he's saying, look, when you came to Christ, there was a certain amount of suffering. And so some people got kicked out of the church, the synagogue. Some people, I'm sure, got, you know, kind of made fun of in their families or maybe treated poorly. Some people suffered big time. Paul himself got stoned. He got beaten. He got arrested. And so, is this one on? Okay. So there's a certain amount of suffering that came with believing. He's like, look, you didn't believe. You didn't suffer for nothing. That suffering was for good. Don't try to now get away from that and turn to your own effort. In the next one, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? So this is awesome. When Paul went around, the Holy Spirit moved in amazing ways. Some people started to speak in new tongues. Some people were healed. There was people that hadn't walked their entire lives that began to walk. There was people that had just their lives transformed. People that were so convicted of the life they had before, they took all these books, all these magic books worth thousands and thousands of dollars and burned them in a huge pile. And the Holy Spirit is just moving in people to change lives and to do amazing things. And so Paul's whole first point is the Holy Spirit has been working in you guys. You have seen it working. You have seen the suffering that comes with that. You have seen your lives transformed. And that all came when you believed. Why are you trying to add anything else to it? What more do you need? So I'd like to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit
is given when we believe. The Holy Spirit is given to us when we believe. And the Holy Spirit is a seal. And He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And so the Holy Spirit changes our lives. The Holy Spirit guarantees what's going to come later in our lives. And so the people that are serious, sometimes I get in trouble. I like it. Get mad if you call the Holy Spirit an it. Because the Holy Spirit is a He. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a being, not a force. And so, just to look a little about the Holy Spirit, as we just read in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit, He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit. And when He left, He said He would send the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit is our counselor. So the Holy Spirit is like, the Holy Spirit is able in our lives to give us the thoughts of God. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, the revealer of truth. And so in our lives, having believed, we have with us and in us God. And having believed, we have the thoughts of God at our disposal. We can actually know the thoughts of God, be comforted, be counseled. And I think of the Holy Spirit kind of like the intimacy of God. It's God right with us. It's not God the Father or even the Son who is here for a time, but the Holy Spirit is in our midst. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us when we believe. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to live our lives. And it's so amazing to, Phyllis was talking about this, to have the Holy Spirit when we believe and yet live our lives as if it's still on our own. And yet we have the power of the Spirit with us. Those of us who have believed receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is Paul's first kind of case. I think it's really powerful. His second case is about Abraham. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So as he does this case, he's going to quote a whole bunch of stuff from the Old Testament. And this is from Genesis 15, I think. And it says, Abraham believed God and he had righteousness. So if we look at this timeline, this isn't exact numbers or anything. But we can see Abraham at 2000 BC. And it wasn't until 500 years later, I think Paul puts it at 430 years later, that Moses came around. And then there was this law and all these things to do to become righteous. And Paul's saying, look, it says Abraham was declared righteous. Abraham was righteous before Moses was even born. So it's possible to have righteousness without the law. Okay. So understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. We who believe, we're going back. We're going even, this is like before the law. Those who believe are children of Abraham. They have that same seed, that same line. We follow that line of belief. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Again, he's quoting from Genesis. It says it in a number of places. We will be blessed through Abraham before the law. all nations will. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. Sorry, let me. So that was kind of his second argument. His second argument is, look, if you have faith, you're blessed along with Abraham. You don't have to worry about the law because that came later, and righteousness came even before that. All right, let's jump into his third argument. His third argument. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So, I did like a Google search of the law a little bit. And so it's pretty hard to classify, but I think in the Talmud, which is like a really old explanation of the law, they were saying there's like 513 different laws that they've written down. And most of them, more than half, are negative laws. Like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then less of our positive laws. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And so if we look at the law, there's laws about everything. It's like, it's amazing. I just wrote down a few. Not all of them. So there's moral laws. I think that's what I kind of think of. There's the Ten Commandments. You know, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't kill, you should honor your father and mother, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't lie, bear false testimony, you shouldn't covet what other people have. And then there's like these symbols, sign ones. So circumcision, all the men are supposed to be circumcised. Everyone's supposed to wear tassels on the corners of their garments. Everyone's supposed to wear these scripture boxes on their heads and arms and carry around parts of the law in them. They're supposed to write them on their door frames. They're supposed to do these festivals. And everybody was required to gather 3 times a year for these big festivals to remember what God had done. There's laws about how to pray. There's laws about love and how to love your neighbors and your fellow Israelites. There's laws on marriage. There's laws on sexuality. There's laws on how to treat the poor. There's laws on how to treat Gentiles, which are people who are not Jews, like me. There's laws on what to eat. There's laws on what clothes to wear. There's laws on how to conduct your business. There's laws on property and how to own property. There's laws on agriculture and how you have to grow your crops and your animals. There's laws on what to do if someone has leprosy. There's laws on what to do if you find mold or mildew in your house. It's amazing. There's like so many laws. And here's what Paul's saying. Look, it says in the law, if you don't obey everything written in the law, you're going to get a curse. So you can't just say, well, I'm going to go ahead and get circumcised. It's like, well, that doesn't really do any good. Because unless you follow all of it, the law that you're trying to follow itself gives you a curse instead of giving you any amount of righteousness. Okay. So continuing on, clearly no one is justified before God by the law because the righteous will live by faith. So he's quoting Habakkuk 2. The righteous live by faith, not by following these rules. Okay, so some people will say, well, by following the rules, I'm showing faith. And so Paul says, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. So again, he's quoting Deuteronomy. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Okay, so Jesus came rather than to give us a curse of not following all these rules. He came and bore this curse. The curse of the law fell on him instead of on us. Okay, so to me, this is kind of the conclusion, 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Okay, so just in conclusion, we can go all the way back to Abraham. We can claim that same righteousness as we live in faith, and we can bypass following all the details of the law. All right, so summary. His first point, the main summary, was that, don't remember, the Spirit was given when we believed, not when we obeyed the law. So that was his first paragraph. That's huge. You didn't get the Holy Spirit didn't start working in you because of some good things you did or some rules you followed. Number two, before the law was written, Abraham was declared righteous. When he believed, we share in that righteousness. We have that same inheritance, that same righteousness. And then the third paragraph, the law can't give us righteousness. It gives us a curse instead. Exactly what Christ came to take for us. All right, so we look at these three arguments. I don't know. I think for the most part, most of us are like, those are good arguments. That's really nice. I think the Galatians were probably like, saw the wisdom, I would imagine. But what about our lives? Does this, like, pertain to us at all? I don't know if any of you are trying to follow all the Jewish code written. You know, it's like, so what about us? What do we do with this? So I just want to draw out a few things, at least for me, what it kind of brings out in me. And so looking at that verse again, verse 3, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? And just the first thing is, let's not forget how we came to Christ. I don't know of anybody who came to Christ, and I can speak for myself. I didn't come to Christ with much to offer. I didn't come with a lot of wisdom, a lot of good things. I didn't come being like, yeah, you basically owe me because I've been such a good guy. We come to Christ humbly, just like, man, whatever you give me is a gift. I have nothing to offer. We come to Christ aware of our inadequacy, aware of our need. It's like, Jesus, what you're offering, I need that. I cannot attain that on my own. We come in appreciation. I came appreciative of what Jesus had done, the amazing generosity. And not like, well, of course God would do that for me. And so I think it's good just to remember where we came from. Remember how we come to Christ. And if you are in Christ, remember, how did you get there? It wasn't by your own effort. It wasn't because you were so great that God needed you and was like, oh man, please join my team. It was a gift to remember that. And I think the second thing, I doubt there's anybody in here who's trying to follow the entire law of Moses, but what are we adding on ourselves? Now, what do we need to do for God? What's our duty? What rules must a good Christian follow? And I think we fall into this sometimes. We begin with the Spirit. We begin just receiving this gift, and then later it's like, okay, wow, thank you, God. Now that you cleaned me up, what are the rules now that I need to follow? And, okay, I got to go to church every Sunday? Okay, I'll do that. All right. And just what rules do we try to add on? And so I think in my own life, I added pressure on myself that's not from God. I add this, like, I need to be some kind of picture of excellence and perfection, and I cannot let myself stumble. I need to, I don't know, not let anybody down. I need to add these extra things where I need to start doing things for God. I need to start working for Him or somehow attaining something on my own effort. And so I think the message for us is we began with the Spirit. We don't finish it by our own effort. We don't add to it with rules. So I don't know if there's any rules you have that you feel like Christians have to follow. Are there things we have to do? It's like, no. There's no longer a set of rules. Instead of following rules, we get to follow Jesus now. And as Paul says later, it's like, in following Jesus, we'll automatically follow the spirit of the law. But we don't have to follow a bunch of rules anymore. In my classes, sometime I like to show motivational videos. And there's a lot of very inspiring people in this world that have done really awesome stuff. There's a wrestler from Arizona State University that won a national championship like 3 years ago. He was undefeated, and he only has one leg. And I know when he first went out for wrestling, well, first of all, he lost all his matches. He won a couple, I guess. And a lot of people, I'm sure, were like, what are you even thinking? And then when he was undefeated, then they started saying, well, of course, you have an advantage. You, instead of having all that weight there, you have a huge upper body. It's an advantage not to have a leg. And so, but nobody said that when he started. So, but anyway, so I show these videos, and one day in one of my classes, the student's like, these videos are all the same. They're just saying, if you never give up, you can like attain stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point. Like it's all these people saying, if you have your dreams, if you never give up, you will reach them. You will attain them. You will achieve your goal. And then the crazy thing is, when it comes to reaching God, being right with God, making it to heaven, you cannot make it on your own effort. You cannot just be like, I'm going to throw my heart and soul and life into this. It's like, you still can't do it. You're still human. You're still inadequate. You still need Christ. And so, as we come and receive that, then later, it's easy for me to forget that. Okay, now that you've done that, now I need to, by my effort, do some amazing things. And it's like, even then, even if you've been walking with God for many years, it's still the power of Christ in you that accomplishes anything of value. It's still the power of Christ that you need. Your own effort is still insufficient. After beginning with the Spirit, would we now try to attain our goal by human effort? No. It's still by believing. Colossians 2 kind of reiterates this. I like this passage. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, and to me that means just as you did, humbly and just thankfully and without much to offer, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. We have been given all we need in Christ to begin, to continue, to go on. And so, as I was thinking about this, is just some thoughts I had. I began in Christ. I continue in Christ. I end in Christ. It's His power every step. It's not His power to clean me up, and now it's up to me. Jesus began the work. Jesus continues the work. Jesus finishes the work. And I think it's easy to start adding on and filling this burden like we have to. And not to say there aren't things that we can't do to humble ourselves and to believe and to be a part of this process, but it's not our effort that accomplishes the work. Christ was enough in the beginning. Christ is enough in the middle. Christ will be enough in the end. Jesus called me. Jesus grows me. Jesus will take me home. He saved me. He's the one that purifies me through the process. He's the one that will ultimately bring us to heaven. So I liked in the Amplified version of the Bible, it's kind of a commentary. They add a whole bunch of extra stuff just to help understand it. It's kind of cool. It's really long, though. In verse 5, this is what they say. Then does he who supplies you with his marvelous Holy Spirit and works powerfully and miraculously among you do so on the grounds of your doing what the law demands or because of your believing? Sorry, because of your believing in and adhering to and trusting in and relying on the message that you heard. Does God do his work because you're following whatever burden you feel you have to complete, whatever duty in your life you have to attain and live up to, or because you believe? And I like how they expand on believing. Just believing and adhering to and trusting in and relying on. Just like, I put myself fully in this. Even this week, I've been just kind of wrestling through some places. I think for me, it's always work that I end up relying on my own effort. I don't know why. It's like, work is where I have to accomplish. And just kind of trying to shed some of the layers of that. Going back, it's like, okay, I belong to God. He bought me, and I want his power. His power is able to do. His power is able to accomplish. His power allows me to live the way I want to live. So I want to give you guys, I think this is a gift. I want to give you 2 minutes just to sit and between you and God. If you want to get up and go outside and walk or talk to God in a different setting, by all means too. But just to take a couple minutes and reflect on where you're at with God and and if you've lost sight of the source or just kind of your beginning. So there are some questions if you want to chew on those or if you just want to sit and pray for a couple minutes. But God, I thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the gift that you've given us. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in our midst. Thank you for being able to convict us and move in us. And God, I just give you the times that I've made my life more about duty than just about being with you and believing you and walking with you. And I thank you that in our insufficiency on ourselves, you've made us sufficient in you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've given us. Thank you for the price that you paid for us and for sending the Comforter to be with us and to counsel us. And I ask that you would grow each one of us to walk with you more fully, to let go of those places where we rely on ourselves and to trust you. And I just thank you again. In the name of Jesus, amen.